Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to all of you that are listening to another God's Word of Man broadcast. This is Brother Nate. Thank God for all of you that is tuning in to this broadcast. I want to welcome you all over the world. Those of you that are listening, Canada, Iraq, Algeria, United Kingdom, and any other country is listening that I have not named, I want to welcome you to another God's Word of Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So, without further ado, we're going to get ready to go into the lesson. But for those of you who follow us, Blog Talk Radio, you know how we do this. We always open up with prayer, and then we go into the lesson. For those of you that are first-time listeners, that's what we do. We open up with prayer, then we go into the lesson. Amen. And wherever you're listening to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us petition the Lord together as we get ready to enter into the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, once again, you have blessed us to assemble together. But Lord God, we cannot comprehend anything without your Spirit. We cannot comprehend the Word of God without the power of the Holy Ghost. So therefore, we ask today that you would give us the understanding we need, the revelation we need, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we are grateful that you have heard our petition and our request, because the word of the Lord says that we know if we ask according to your will, we have this confidence that you hear us. And so we know it is your will for us to have the understanding and the revelation of your word. So thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer, hearing our cry. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Tonight, we're looking at promise of the Lord. There's a question we're going to ask and answer by the Word of God. And the question is, can I expect ease from grief or trouble? Can I expect that from God? Once again, the question is, can I expect ease from grief, easing of my grief or trouble? Can I expect that from God? Can I expect God to ease my grief and my trouble through whatever I'm mourning about, whatever I'm suffering? Can I expect that? Now, some of you will hear this question and go, well, that's an obvious answer. But it's amazing that even when we have the obvious answers, in the time where we are going through, we forget it. And everybody needs a reminder of the word. Okay, you know, everybody needs a reminder. You know, point of another, you know, when we're going through, we tend to forget what we call obvious. So, once again, the question is, can I expect from God to ease the grief or trouble that I'm going through? The answer to that question is most definitely yes. And we're going to look in the Word of God that supports it. That's why the title of this message tonight is, thanks, Lord, for the promise of comfort. We want to thank you, Lord, for the promise of comfort. Hallelujah. Because according to Webster, that is one of the definitions of the word comfort, is to ease grief. According to Webster, to ease the grief or trouble of, also meaning to console, okay? Amen? And so we're going to answer that question. It's yes, but we're going to answer it through the Word of God. Now, once again, some of you who may be listening, you may have said again, well, hey, that's an obvious answer, but it's amazing, once again, that even what we call an obvious answer, when it's times of going through, we forget. And perhaps there's someone who's listening today who needs to hear this, because perhaps that you're thinking that this thing has got to be with you all the time, this grief, okay, and all that has to be with you all the time, this trouble in your heart has to be with you all the time, but God wants you to know, no, it don't. No, it don't. We're going to, in answering this, we're going to go to the second book of Corinthians, chapter 1. The second book of Corinthians, chapter 1. Once again, we're going to let the word answer this, because many times, like I said, when you're going through, you tend to forget, and you need a reminder from the Lord. Once again, the title of this message is Thank You, Lord, for the Promise of Comfort. Hallelujah. We can expect that from the Lord, because you know that is in your covenant. When you accept Christ as Lord, that is in your covenant with Christ, or your inheritance, okay, that we can expect this thing. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verse 3 and 4. If you have your Bibles, won't you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The Word of God says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Amen. Now, we see that this verse does answer our question that we can expect God to comfort or to ease our grief or trouble, to console us. We can expect that. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, what he says about God, he said that God is the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforts us. Now, the first word, comfort, in verse 3, the original Greek word, paraklesis. Paraklesis means imploration, portation, it means solace. Imploration means the act of imploring or to call or pray for earnestly. Okay. Portation or exhortation means giving exhortation or advisory. Okay. The word solace, because I'm breaking down these three words that come from the Greek word that was translated comfort. The word solace means to console. So when Paul said he of all advice that's needed, sometimes when we're going through grief or something like that, we need an advice on something.
and he's the top man to do that. He can give you the greatest advice that you ever need. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost witnessing to me on that. Also, in the comfort, God calls us to himself. He calls us to come to him. You know, when you're going through, sometimes people don't want to be bothered with you. They don't want to be around you. You're grieving for a particular loss or something like that. They just don't want to have nothing to do with you, okay? You know, it's just like having the, quote, so-called friends who hang around you when everything's going well, everything's up and running. As soon as things break down and you're having trouble and you're grieving, they're nowhere to be found. And neither are they trying to let you find them. Well, God, in the midst of your grieving, is steady calling you to come to him. You know, you have some people that say, well, I don't want to hear your squabbling and your crying. You know, you have people with that kind of attitude. But God doesn't do like that. God said, I want you to come to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He consoles us. Okay. Hallelujah. Now, in that third verse, once again, when he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of not some comfort. Okay. He said all comfort. And all means all. Okay. Of all comfort. The word all means the whole amount. It means the whole quantity. The whole extent of. You know. Not no half comfort. He gives full comfort. Okay. Hallelujah. Whatever is needed to ease your grief or your trouble at that time, he provides it. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not the God of some comfort. Hallelujah. He's the God of, and then in verse 4, Paul goes on to say, who comforts us. So not only is God called the God of all comfort, but he actually put it to action what he is. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. See, some people can call themselves something and not do what they say. But God is not like that. God calls himself, he reveals the names of himself, and he puts into action what he is. Amen? So you're not worried about serving a God that just talks and no action. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Have you ever come across people that all they is talk but no action? Well, God is not like that. God said, in using Paul, not only did Paul say he's the God of all comfort, he said, who comforts us. So he puts into action what he is. Amen. So once again, you're not dealing with the true living God that's just a talker. You can look for him to do this. You can look for him to ease your grief and your trouble. You can look for him to do that. Amen. You can, and he would do it. So Paul said in verse 4, said, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, the word comforted in verse 4, okay, and when I was looking at it, it has a different Greek word than the word comfort in verse 3. Even though they're close to meaning almost the same thing, the Greek word for comforted in verse 4 is parakatio. Parakatio, and parakatio means to call near, that is, invite, okay? To invoke by imploration, hortation, or consolation, okay? So when he said, who comforts us, God invites us to come to him. And once again, like I said before, you have people that when you're grieving, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. You know, get away from me. I don't want to hear your squalling and your bawling. I don't want to hear all that, okay? You know, don't come around me. Well, see, God's not like that. God doesn't tell you when you're grieving, get away from me. Don't come to me. But see, he study call you and he invite you to come to him. Okay? And even with this, even through, and the word of God, in the, excuse me, the Greek words means also invoke. Okay? Invoke. Invoke means to make an earnest request for. Okay? And whether it's through the advice that he gives, that he even say, come to me. I'm going to advise you to come to me. Okay? Or him calling you to say, come to me. Okay? That's what he does. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And see, in this fourth verse, not only do he comfort us, but here he used Paul to tell us when. Okay? It is not when the sun is shining. Because, like I said, some people are only with you when everything's going well. But when you're going through a period of trouble, that's when they scatter. And so Paul said, who comforted us in all our tribulation, okay? Not in some of it, okay? Because if he only comforted you in some of it, then he would not be the God of all comfort. He would be the God of some comfort, okay? And that some comfort would go with some tribulation. But since he's the God of all comfort, he's comforted us in all our tribulation. Now, that word tribulation, the original Greek word, means pressure, literally or figuratively. It means affliction. It means anguish. It means burden. It even means persecution or trouble. So even when you're being persecuted, okay, God will comfort you. Even when you're being burdened, God will comfort you. Even when you're going through affliction, God will comfort you. When you're going through anguish, he will comfort you, okay? He's the God of all comfort. Amen. And he comforts us in all our tribulation. But then we see in the fourth verse, there's another reason to this comfort. Not only does God want to ease our grief and trouble for us, but in the fourth verse, we are told that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So also, God, through comforting us, this is what makes him the greatest teacher of all, because he knows how to use things to teach a lesson or to teach you on how to operate in pleasing him. So we're told that we're also being comforted by him so we may know how to comfort others. Okay? Because, see, you know, it's just like when we have children, there's some things that our children don't know how to do, and we as parents have to teach them. And we teach them and show them a certain way so they know how to do for others. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God. So this is what God, the great teacher of all, does, okay? And so that you may learn how to comfort others with the comfort wherewith you receive from God, God said, I'm going to comfort you so you can know how to comfort others, okay? And even though the comfort of man can be limited, see, God can use us in such a way to bring comfort to others in a time of need. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Once again, we're answering the question, even though the title of the message is Thank You, Lord, for the promised comfort. God has promised comfort to his people. Here's the thing. You know, as I was saying in the opening, that even though some things is obvious to us, in the time of going through, many times we forget, okay? And God has to send us a word. And he has to let us know, say, hey, I got you. Because sometimes in the time of, let's say, tribulation, of pressure, where there's pressure from persecution or pressure from being burdened or stuff like that. Sometimes it's like it's so great that our focus is more on that than we are on what God promised to do for us. And so he has to send us a word, a message. Thank God for that. And as many times, it's a reminder. You know, how many times in your walk with God that you was going through something, and all of a sudden God, through his spirit, spoke this word to you, and you go, wow, you definitely right, Lord. You sure right. Why did you make that remark? Because many times perhaps it may have been something you have already read. And you're thinking to yourself, now how could I have forgotten that? And so many times God has to give us a slap on the head or a nudge or an eye-opener to remind us of his word. And so I'm so grateful of that, that he does that. Amen. Now in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus, this is called the Beatitudes, and Jesus, who was in the mountain, and the multitudes were following him. And the Bible says he began to open his mouth and teach. And I think that many times we forget that Jesus taught quite a bit. He didn't just preach everywhere. And see, in the churches, there's so much an imbalance because there's a whole lot of stressing on preaching and very, very, very little stressing on teaching. And this is why people have been destroyed for the lack of knowledge. This is the reason why people are walking very unbalanced in their lives because of the lack of teaching. In fact, I don't get me wrong, preaching has its place. I'm not saying this to speak against preaching, but I can't say it's a lack of preaching. You know, there's a lack of, you know, of course, every area hadn't heard the preached word. But what I'm saying in the churches, it's way more lack of teaching to me than preaching. Because whenever in the churches there's a ceremony done, if there's going to be the giving of the word, it's definitely going to be some preaching. Okay? And just like, you know, we do revivals. You know, here in America, I know back in the days, you know, they used to do, I think, 7-day revivals. Sometimes some of them would do 14-day revivals. But coming up, you know, when I first became a Christian, first came to ministry, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was more common 5-day and 7-day revivals than now. But see, most of now, many of your revivals has broken down, especially down this way where I live. Like three days, and sometimes 5 days. But anyhow, 3, 5, or 7, I guarantee you, just about in many of the churches, just about all those days, is going to be preaching, okay? And so we can't overlook teaching, even though we have, and this is why a lot of suffering has been going on, okay? Because when the preacher's preaching, you're not going to interrupt him and say, what do you mean when you're saying that? But you can ask questions when they're teaching going on. So Jesus is here teaching. And while he's here teaching, he said in verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Thank you, Jesus. Now, some of you say, well, I don't see what the blessing is for mourning. Okay. Hallelujah. Glory. But if you're going through, in fact, I want to address this word mourn for a minute. The original Greek word is pentheo. Pentheo, and pentheo means to grieve, the feeling or the act. Okay? Whether you're feeling grieved or acting grieved, Jesus said that you will be comforted. Okay? Hallelujah. And here's the thing on that. For example, there are those who grieve, who have been grieving for a loss of loved ones. There are those in that loved one, whether it's a friend or a loved one through death. And get this, some or many have lost loved ones or friends because of their connection with Christ. And let's be honest, it hurts. It hurts when you have a quote as earthly friends, a best friend growing up. Y'all grew up together, homeboys, homegirls, knowing one another for years. And all of a sudden you get saved and receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And he or she, you know, don't understand. They still want you to do the same things that you did when y'all was growing up. You don't do it, and now you can sense this rift between y'all. Then all of a sudden it started maybe getting a little contentious. And next thing you know, some stuff coming out their mouth towards you that you never thought you would hear before and you never heard before from them. And it hurts. Okay, let's be real about it. For us to get the healing, we have to admit it hurts. When you're losing a good friend because of your connection with Christ. But if you view Christ to be the greater, then guess what? See, Christ says, glory. I said the Holy Ghost. I don't know if somebody that's listening through this now, perhaps you have lost a loved one. You've lost children. You lost a husband. You lost a wife because of your connection with Christ. Okay? And God wants you to know that according to the promise of his word, you shall be comforted. God is going to remove that grief. Hallelujah. He's going to remove that trouble. Hallelujah. He's going to bring forth the healing. And he's going to bless you. And I don't know who as I'm speaking to tonight on this, but whoever you are, God wants you to know that. Maybe perhaps you just lost a loved one through death or a friend through death, okay? That hurts. God said he'll come. You know, because see, you know, even as Christians, we have a soul. And our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. So we have emotions that we have to take control of, and we have emotions that be affected. And your emotions can be affected from losses. That's where the mourning comes in at. Whether you lost a mother or a dad or kin folks or a best friend or an associate, you will mourn, okay? That's obvious, and Christ understand that. But Christ wants us to know that he would remove or ease that grief or that trouble that we face from that. Amen? So that's the promise of his word that he gives unto us. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I just, since the Holy Ghost, as I was speaking on that, glory to God, hallelujah. And plus, I want to say this, some are mourn, and I don't want to put you at a place where you be all caught up in possessions, but let's also face this. Let's say you have your house and you lose your house. God knows that affects you, you know. Hallelujah. You lose material things, God knows it affects you. Now, he don't want the material things to have you, but he knows that, you know, when you have something, let's say you lose it, where it is taken away from you, destroyed or something like that, God knows it hurt. That's why God said, I'm going to restore what the palmer worm and the canker worm has taken. But see, God wants you to know, in the midst of your grieving, God would ease that trouble, that grief. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's not going to just let you sit there grieving. The only way you sit there grieving is you got to reject his touch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to John chapter 14. John, the word of the Lord, we're going to go to verse 26. We're talking about and answering the question, can I expect from God to be, for him to ease my grief or my trouble, especially from something I have suffered as a loss, friendship, loved ones, you name it, whether it's through death or whether it's because I'm now a born-again believer. And we see that the word is answering us, yes. And the word let us know that not only is he the God of all comfort, but he puts into action what he is. Hallelujah. So when we talk about God being the God of miracles, he's not just known as the God of miracles, but he actually performs it. Hallelujah. So you're not serving a God that just all talk. You're serving a God that puts into action what he says. Amen? I just sense the Holy Ghost. I sense the Spirit of the Lord on that. Now, John chapter 14, verse 26, very interesting verse here. Jesus says in verse 26, he said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he should teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, remember that the Word of God said God comforts us. And here, this is where he's going to comfort us through. It's going to be through his Spirit. You understand that? Hallelujah. You see, God gave an identity. You identify the Holy Ghost as the Comforter. He let you know who the Comforter is, who is the true Consoler. The Balo is not your Consoler. Even though you have, and have sad to say, some professing Christians who are having problems, who are grieving, have turned to the Balo to quote, dull the pain. But see, Jesus said the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. The bottle is not the Comforter. That bottle will lead you to sin. Okay? Hallelujah. You know, you have plenty of folks that, quote, got drunk and did some stuff and then that went right. When they come to their cell, and they say, "Well, why you did it?" "Oh, I was drunk." And to be honest with you, there are many of them who's using that as an excuse for the wrong that they did. "Oh, I didn't know what I was doing. I was drunk." Okay? And many of us think that people are just drinking for the taste. But many of us are drinking because they're trying to suppress problems. And they think that the bottle is the thing. And notice that when you find people that's heavy on the bottle and drunkards, I mean, you can look at them physically and see what it does to them. Okay? I mean, you get to a point that all that drinking, you know, they don't even do too much eating. You know, and they become inflamed with it, inflamed in their skin, and it causes all kind of health issues. Okay? Another thing, sex is not your consoler. You have some that this is why they sleep around. They have problems. They're grieving for some, and therefore they think that sex would be the consoler, that sex would be the comforter. And once again, when you're laying around, that's sin. Fornication, if you married, adultery, you name it, which opens up the door for what curses. Just like the bottle, not only it calls you into sin, but it opens up the door for curses. So Jesus letting you know that your comforter is not the thing that opens you up to curses. When the Holy Ghost comforts you, it's not going to open you up to a curse. You're going to be blessed. And this is why Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted." Okay? Amen. Because when you're depending on the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, okay, in your mourning, you're going to be comforted. Amen. So, once again, sex is not your consoler. Another thing, money is not your consoler. They're grieving, and they think that the money is the answer to their grief. And so what they're doing is that they're working themselves to death to accumulate as much money as they can. At the same time, they're also having health issues. At the same time, they're working themselves so it's like God who? You don't have no time for God. First you was coming to service faithfully. Now you miss a day. Now you're missing 2 days. Now we don't see you for a week. You know, weeks and by, months and by. And, in the two times we see you, you pass by the car, maybe throw your hand out and wave. And then when somebody finally track you down and talk to you after so many months, you say, "I've been working. I've been working." And therefore, the working has become your consoler because you're grieving and mourning a loss of something. It could have been a loss of your house. It could have been a loss of your car and stuff like that, you know. Amen. Could have been lost of some material possession. So you think that money is your consoler, okay? So you bury yourself in your work trying to accumulate as much money as you need, or you want, rather, because you're saying, oh, I'm not letting this happen to me again. The money is not the consoler. The next thing, drugs is not your consoler. The drugs is not your comforter. Hallelujah. Once again, people having problems, they're turning to drugs. And you see what drugs is doing to them. You see, it first is drying them up, thinking that this is my consoler. So whenever I'm grieving about a certain thing that I've done or happened to me or something like that, this is what's going to console me if I go get high. You know, when you talk to, I would say just about anyone, but I know I talked to a minister one time who used to be on drugs. One of the common things they say is that when you get high the very first time, they say you don't ever reach that high again. And that's why you see some of them start spending that time, keep messing with the drug, mess with the drug, because they trying to reach that first time high like they got. But say they don't reach it no more. Okay? Hallelujah. So drugs is not your consoler. Drugs is not your comforter. Okay? And so Jesus said, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So Jesus said, I got to point out to you who the comforter is, okay? Because the comforter, my spirit, is not going to lead you into sin or open you up for a curse to happen in your life, okay? My comforter is going to console you, even make intercession, okay? That's what he'll do, amen? But he's not going to lead you to sin and cause you to be cursed. Because like I said, those other things that I mentioned to you will. Some other things that cause you to sin, and it will open you up to be cursed. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read one more verse here. It's coming from the word of the Lord Jesus Christ as he sent it through the Elijah. Resurrected John the Baptist is mentioned in Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 4, sent him with a message called Message 48, which is the 48th time that Christ sent the Elijah. And I want to read one of these verses, what he said in here as he sent this message out June the 17th, 1940. The word of God is still valid today as the first day he sent it. Amen. Glory be to God. And the word of God says, I have come as the Lord has appointed. Thank you, Jesus. He said, I have given the word and it must be obeyed. Again, I give words of encouragement and comfort for the children of men and the church of Christ. The spirit of peace will come to all that will obey and do the Lord's will. Now, he says that I have given the word and it must be obeyed. Again, I give words of encouragement and comfort. Okay? He gives words that the grief, they will remove the trouble. Because even though man can do his best to comfort one another, you will notice that the comfort of man only can go so far. And many of y'all listening know what I'm talking about. You know how you ever suffer a loss of a loved one, and the people did their best to try to console you. They offer their condolences and all that. But when the smoke clears and at the end of the day and the funeral is over and the repast over, you go home, you still feel that void, an empty void within you. Whether you have lost a husband or a wife or a mother or a father or a child, you still, like, it still be that empty void. And see, void only can be filled by God. And see, that's where people go into error, but because they still feel that void, That's when they turn to the bottle or the sex or the drugs and all that, because they're trying to fill that void to remove their grief. Or they're turning to drugs. But I'm here to tell you that whoever you is listening, that the only true comfort he's going to get is by the Holy Ghost. And the Lord will speak and send words of encouragement. There have been many who have testified about words of encouragement from the Lord in dreams and visions concerning their grieving over certain things. You know, as I read the message here, it's like one of the brothers here named Brother Draves, who was given this message through the angel of the Lord. God sent an angel to him. There was time that he was troubled by conditions in the church, and God sent him a word of comfort. Many times we need that, and you'll find that many times you need a direct word from God of comfort. Sometimes there are certain situations you're in or have went through, sir, as I want to say, and it's a strong grieving process, and many times God has to send a rhema word to you or a direct word to you, you know, that brings comfort. Because, see, sometimes people depend on other people, and when that fails, like I said, they turn to what they call other alternatives, like the bottle, the drugs, and stuff like that. And that's why when we sense somebody who's grieving, and even though people have tried to console them, and you sense they're still in that condition, that's why it's good to pray that God would, through his spirit, console them or send a word, okay? Because it's the word of the Lord that brings, that has the power to fill that void where the grieving process is going on. So, you know, we looked at the word of God tonight. We've answered the question, can you expect, if you have suffered a loss, whether it's through death, a loved one, husband, wife, children, kin folks, or a good friend, can I expect God to ease my grieving or trouble? And yes, you can. If you have suffered the loss of the loved ones because of your connection with Christ, can I expect God to ease the grief and trouble? And the answer is yes. Okay? It's yes. You know, because I know that, you know, in mentioning that part about losing one because of your connection with Christ, I know we sometimes try to act tough like it don't faze us, but, you know, for us to get the deliverance, we have to be honest. And so, therefore, God knows when we go to God and say, God, they don't want nothing to do with me now because I've now got saved. And, Lord, it hurts, but I look for you to comfort me. You know, you can tell the Lord that, okay? And God will comfort you and make you strong. Hallelujah. I mean, and like I said, the Holy Ghost, you know, as I speak on that once again, Spirit of the Lord is just witnessing to me by his Spirit. And like I said, I don't know if who's listening, who needed to hear this, but God wants you to know this, that he's going to ease or remove that grief or that trouble caused of your connection to him. Because he let us know that we're going to suffer losses. You know, he told Brother Otto Fetting, the first of the two brothers so far that God has sent the angel to, that you're gonna suffer losses. There's losses that are going to happen, okay? Amen. You know, and in that losses, no doubt, he wasn't just talking about material things, okay? He wasn't talking about just possession. He's talking about people, and especially people in dealing with your connection to Christ. And I'm here to tell you, for those of you that are listening, you know, and not to put a damper on anything, but to be honest, when you receive Christ as Lord, and you walk in Christ, you're going to suffer those losses of, quote, relationships. And I'm talking about whether it is you and wife, you and husband, you and dad, you and mom, you and your kids. You know, I'm just here to tell you that at the end of the road, or at the end when the smoke clears, every family is not going to be together. Now, some of y'all say, well, wait a minute now, you speaking curses. No, I'm not speaking curses. And I'm not trying to speak discouragement from any of you that's praying right now for your family. I'm just saying that God gives, let us know the balance of things. Because if it don't turn out the way you thought it should, still believe that God did deal with them. Like, for example, there are some people who are going to be praying for kids to come to the Lord, and some is not going to come to the Lord. Does that mean that when you prayed to the Lord about it, that God failed? No. No, God went out and touched them. But remember, there is what you call a free will. And see, God is not in the forcing business. And I think sometimes we forget that. We think that when we pray for someone to be saved, sometimes I think we think like God is just going to make them. No, he's not going to make them. Now, he's going to answer your prayer, especially as far as touching them to kind of, you know, to nudge him to the way, but he's not going to make them. If they keep resisting, keep resisting, keep resisting, and if they don't will, they won't have nothing to do with them, well, guess what? He's not going to make them get saved. And see, sometimes people get mad at God when that happens, you know. But remember, God cannot and will not go against his own word. And so he gave us all a free will. That's like, that's going to be some Christians in these last days is going to lose out with God, because they're going to turn around and get to a point in the walk and say, hey, I don't want no more of this. And is God going to talk to him? Sure he is. Is he going to keep beseeching them to come to him? Sure he is. But is all going to come? No, they're not. Someone's going to say, hey, I got my mind made up. I don't want no more of this. I'm tired of being bogged down. I want to do my own thing, and that's what's going to happen. Okay? Praise be to God. So thank God for the word of the Lord tonight. Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another blessed day, another blessed time in Christ Jesus. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And Lord, I ask tonight, this day, that all that was listening was touched by this word, and I ask that you would water the seed that I have planted, that it may bring glory and honor to your name. So, Lord God, I thank you and I lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And that the Lord say the same, look for tomorrow night, another broadcast. Look for the advertisement. Lord, say the same, 7 o'clock p.m. Once again, thank God for all of you. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My life is yours.
I'll just say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.